You know, this is a night where we're talking about journalism and trying to preserve some journalistic values and qualities. So we wanted to follow Bill Moyers up with somebody who, you know, somebody who was in the thick of it, somebody who was really doing some important journalism. So we thought of a big national radio personality like, I don't know, Rush Limbaugh. But he's in rehab. So then we thought, well, what about Bill O'Reilly? He's a big TV personality, but, you know, he's in the no-spin zone. So then we thought, well, here's an idea. Why don't we get the guy who exposed Rush Limbaugh as a big fat idiot and who wrote a book that proved that Bill O'Reilly is a lying liar? Please welcome Al Franken.
Sit down. Thank you, Bob. This is very humbling following the speakers, especially Bill Moyers, especially since I was going to do a history of the media through America, and I figure I'm going to just chuck that. Maybe talk a little bit about what I did in my book, Lies and the Lying Liars, to tell them a fair and balanced look at the right. How many here have read it? Yeah. But it makes a great gift for those of you who've read it. It's done very well, the book, and a lot of thanks go to a little organization known as the Fox News Channel, who sued me. And it was a lot of fun, and I thought I'd tell you the story, a little bit about the story of the lawsuit, because it's just people enjoy hearing it, and I enjoy telling it. It started in Los Angeles at the end of May. I was at a book expo on a panel. It was talking to booksellers, to Molly Ivins, Bill O'Reilly, and I were there to plug our books that were coming out in the fall. Molly was there for her book, great book, Bushwhacked. Bill was pushing his book, Living with Herpes. Very, very good book. All writers should really, you know, write from their experience, and it's a good book. It's a very, very good book. And I was there to push my book, and Bill didn't like the fact that he was on the cover of a book called Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. So Molly spoke, then he'd spoken, and he decided he'd go after me. And he said, I don't call people liars. I don't do that. Evidently, he's never seen his own show. And he evidently also didn't realize that it wasn't his show, because I got to get up after him and talk. And I felt I owed him an explanation why he was on a book with the words lies and lying liars, and so I did. And basically, just reading from Nexus transcripts of his shows, I proved that he's not only a liar, but kind of a pathological liar. And he didn't like that. He didn't like it. Although everybody else seemed to enjoy it, he didn't like it, and he said, shut up! You've had your 35 minutes, shut up! And it was interesting because I'd only spoken for 20 minutes. He couldn't even tell me to shut up without lying. But he was angry. He went on radio the next chance he had on his show and said, if this had been the Old West, we would have had to have a shootout. Which I thought was interesting. But the most interesting part was that he guaranteed to his radio audience, to his listeners, that he would win. He would have won the shootout. So I thought, well, I didn't know quite how he could guarantee that, but he did. And it's really odd to me, especially because some of you may know this, but during the summers, I do the whole state fair quick draw circuit. And I'm actually third in the nation, and I know that Bill's not first or second. But nevertheless, he guaranteed to his audience that he would win the shootout and, quote, I would have shot Franken between the head. It's a quote. See, O'Reilly's like the schoolyard bully who hits a whole bunch of kids, and then a kid comes up to him and hits him, and he goes, teacher! Teacher, sue him. And so Roger Ailes, Fox, sued me. Well, actually, first what happened was we got a letter from them threatening to sue us. And my publisher was a little upset and nervous about it, and she told me. And I said, look, I've been doing this for 30 years. Don't worry. Satire is protected speech, even if the object of the satire doesn't get it. I said, our letter back to Fox should be, dear Fox, please, please, please sue us. So, this made her feel better, and she got Floyd Abrams, one of the preeminent First Amendment lawyers in the country, who wrote them a letter. It wasn't the please, please, please letter. It was, dear Fox, this is the United States of America letter. So I thought it was all over. And a couple months went by, and I finished the book, and then went on vacation, and I was on vacation happily. And they sued me. They sued us. You know, and it was great. It was just great. They're printing the books just as they were suing us. And so we went to court, and Fox was literally laughed out of court. Now, normally when you say literally laughed out of court, you mean figuratively. Not here. The Fox attorney opened the hearing this way. She said, Your Honor, the Fox News Channel has over 85 million subscribers. When the judge said, I don't know what that means. I get cable. Does that mean I'm a subscriber? And she said, yes. And the courtroom burst into laughter, and they were laughing. They were laughing for the next 20 minutes. 20 minutes of just laughing at the Fox lawyer. And Floyd got up and did his thing, and then the judge said, well, I will go to chambers and come back with my verdict. And it was sort of like this. And he looked at the Fox attorney and he said, there are hard cases and there are easy cases. This is an easy case. Your case is wholly without merit, both factually and legally, and it's highly unlikely that your trademark, Fair and Balanced, is actually a valid trademark. And as soon as they could, Fox withdrew the case so they wouldn't be stripped of their trademark, their ironic trademark, which I didn't know whether I was being sued for using Fair and Balanced, the slogan, or the idea of it being used ironically. I didn't know which concept I was being sued on. I just... And you'll notice they don't use Fair... If you watch the Fox News Channel, which I would not recommend, that they do not use Fair and Balanced very much anymore, and because it's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. But I think the judge may have inadvertently given them their new slogan, the Fox News Channel, wholly without merit. But actually, the University of Maryland did a study, and they may have given them this wholly without merit slogan, too. This is by the Program on International Policy at the University of Maryland, funded by the Ford Foundation, and they did a study on Americans' misperceptions and how they correlated with where they got their information on the war in Iraq. And they tracked three misperceptions. First one was that there was proof of a connection between Saddam and Al-Qaeda. The second was that we have found weapons of mass destruction. And the third was that world opinion was in favor of our invasion of Iraq. Now, they found that 80% of the viewers who got their news primarily from the Fox News Channel believed at least one of these three misperceptions. And they found that people who listened to or got most of their news from and watched PBS, Bill Moyers, and NPR, people got their news primarily from them, 23% held one of these three misperceptions. But the best part of the statistic, best finding was that the more you watched Fox, the more likely you were to have one of the misperceptions. In other words, the more you watch Fox, the stupider you got. Now, Bob mentioned Rush being in rehab, and we're all praying for him. No, you have to. If someone's addicted to drugs, you have to have compassion for them. And and even though Rush called my friend Jerry Garcia, when he died, just another dead junkie,
and a dirt bag. And just because Rush said throughout his career, that anyone who uses drugs illegally should be prosecuted and put away. You have to pray. You have to pray for him that when he'll get into recovery and go to meetings. And, of course, take responsibility for his actions and for what he's been saying, so that I'm sure that, and I'm praying, that when he gets out, he will demand that he be given the maximum sentence. At the most dangerous prison in Florida, and that he shares a cell with, well, say, an African-American prisoner who saw his comments about Donovan McNabb. You know, you have to pray. You have to pray. People have asked me why. By the way, people have asked me about this. You know, am I doing a radio show? I'm hoping to do it. I'm going to try to do drug-free radio. Evidently, it's very hard. It's what we may call it, drug-free radio. I guess, I don't know if it's been done. You know, it's, that's what we're going to try to do it that way. So these guys, part of my book is, basis of my book, there's a right-wing media, and they shill for this administration. And Fox is part of that, Rush is part of that. Here's an example. This is from August 26th, from Britt Hume. Also, Fox News Channel, from his Grapevine segment of his show. It's a quote. He said, 277 U.S. soldiers have now died in Iraq, which means that statistically speaking, U.S. soldiers have less of a chance of dying from all causes in Iraq than citizens have of being murdered in California, which is roughly the same geographical size. The most recent statistics indicate that California has more than 2,300 homicides each year, which means about 6.6 murders each day. Meanwhile, our U.S. troops have been in Iraq for 160 days, which means they are incurring about 1.7 deaths, including illness and accidents, each day. Well, yeah, but also the most recent statistics show that there are 34 million people living in California, and there are 133,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, which actually means that our troops in Iraq are about 65 times more likely to be killed than citizens in California. And for each one of our soldiers who's killed, five or six are wounded in Maine. Now, when this was pointed out to Britt, his response was, this was in the Washington Post, he said, admittedly, it was a crude comparison. But it was illustrative of something. And I agree. It's illustrative of how shameless these guys are. I'm going on my fourth USO tour at Christmas. I'm going to Afghanistan. I'm going to Kuwait. I'm going to Iraq. We love our troops. We love our young men and women in uniform. Don't let anyone tell you that we aren't more patriotic than them. Come on. Don't let them tell you that. And I love performing for our troops because they have the sickest sense of humor of any audience I've ever worked to. And they will love what Britt had to say. They will love it. They will find it hilarious. And, you know, and I never like to use someone else's material without crediting them, so I will, of course, credit Britt. So, Bill O'Reilly was on Terry Gross's show, Fresh Air, and he walked off, and he said he was treated unfairly, and, he was asked tough questions. Teacher, defund them. He went on the air the next day and said that PBS and NPR get $1 billion from Congress. He just makes, is this on the radio? Makes stuff up, okay? Just pulls it directly from his bum. Now, the NPR ombudsman was so scared that he criticized Terry Gross for asking too tough questions. And I don't know if he listened to the same interview I did, or maybe he doesn't know Bill O'Reilly, because O'Reilly lied throughout the interview. And I'll give you one that made me kind of angry. She asked him about this Harper's article where he had interviewed Jeremy Glick. Amy Goodman talked about the people in the World Trade Center, and Jeremy Glick had lost his father in the World Trade Center and had signed a petition against the war in Iraq. And that really made O'Reilly mad and said, I want this kid in here. I want to talk to him. So he had Jeremy Glick on, who's a PhD candidate at Rutgers, and Jeremy was against the war and said that Bush had wanted, pointed out that he had funded the Mujahideen and those kind of things. And O'Reilly got very angry and told him to shut up! Shut up! That sound familiar? And he turned off the kid's mic. And that was the end of the interview. And then, Sun Radio, right? He said, according to Glick, who told Harper's, and Harper's, and O'Reilly hasn't denied this, he told Jeremy, he said, get the F out of here, or I'll effing tear you apart. Now, Terry Gross asked him about this, and he said, O'Reilly said, did you read the transcript of the interview? She said, well, I read the Harper's thing. Yeah, well, that's what the elite media does. They didn't have the whole transcript. They took it out of context. That's what they do. You see, this kid said some outrageous things. He said Bush 1 and Bush 2 had orchestrated. Bush the Elder and this president had orchestrated 9/11. Well, as a journalist, it was my duty to ask him if he had any proof, and he didn't. That's defamation. Well, I had written about this in my book, and I I read the transcript of that, and Jeremy Glick never said anything of the sort. So here's a man, who's got a lot of power, and he defames. Jeremy is a PhD candidate at Rutgers. He makes his money by writing. It's hard to get a gig. He wrote me. He emailed me. He said, it's kind of hard to get a gig when people think you're a conspiracy nut. And here's a guy, he's a powerful guy, and he attacks a kid with no platform. And the question is, what do we do about that? Well, it's why I wrote my book. We have to take what they say and expose it and use it against them. My job is to sort of do jujitsu. When they lie, use it against them. Hold them up to scorn and ridicule. Because what they want us to do is to shut up. They want you to shut up. But don't shut up. Don't shut up. Stand up. Stand up and fight. Stand up and fight. Everyone here, stand up and fight. Thank you. Thank you.